Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 12 of the Perfect Bracket College Basketball Podcast. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at One Perfect Bracket. That's the number one, One Perfect Bracket. The Twitter account's been a lot more active as I've been posting a lot of thoughts on different teams, picking some games, even though they're not going super well. But I am expecting to keep that up, hopefully. So today, I wanted to kind of do a run-through of the, like, top 25 or so teams in the country. I just would use KenPom to do that. I just want to give some thoughts on all the teams so far, just so I could cover a wide range of teams and not leave anyone out, except obviously the teams that fall below that category, but whatever. But first off, I wanted to get back to something that kind of was, I used to do a lot more in some of the earlier podcasts with one of my deep dive analysis. Some deep dive analysis on something some trend I found or something when I was diving into KenPom or something else. So today, it's this. So a week or so ago, I was just trying to I was just scanning through KenPom and I noticed, I was looking at Loyola from last year who made their Final Four run, and I was just trying to see if there's anything in their numbers that I could see as kind of an indicator that maybe they're the type of team that we could have expected to maybe have this potential. And I saw that they were ranked, they were a defensive strength team. They were 17th in KenPom defensive efficiency, and they were only 63rd in offensive efficiency. But then I saw that they had also, along with that, had the 7th ranked effective field goal percentage. So which essentially meant that, like, when they were shooting the ball, they were shooting it very efficiently. And, if you shoot threes at a relatively efficient pace, that kind of helps your effective field goal percentage as well. So I said, well, they actually, although they only had the 63rd ranked offense, you know, they seem to have the potential to be kind of a better offense than that. Because when they actually shot the ball, they're effective. Again, they were the 7th in the country in effective field goal percentage. So then I kind of thought, okay, why was their offense ranked so low? Because offense is more than just how well you shoot. You have to be able to not turn the ball over. Because if you turn the ball over, you don't get those shot attempts. And also, the more you get offensive rebounds, the more opportunities you have. So basically Loyola wasn't that great at getting offensive rebounds, and they turned the ball over a decent amount. So that dragged down their offense. So my kind of thought process with them was, okay, maybe this is the type of team that we could expect to actually outperform in the tournament, because if they're able to get shots up, they're actually good offensively. And if you would have looked at them going into the tournament, their offensive wouldn't have looked that good. But you can be like, okay, if they can just kind of cut down on the turnovers, which is easier said than done, but if they can kind of cut down the turnovers and just get shots up and maybe get lucky on a few offensive rebounds, this team is capable of performing a lot better than their offense would have indicated. And although, like, it's, again, reducing turnovers and grabbing some offensive rebounds is easier said than done, but my kind of thought process was that the core of offense is kind of, can you shoot the ball and put it in the basket? So I feel like it's easier just to kind of really have a focus on limiting turnovers. It's basically, my thought process was, it's easier to limit turnovers than it is to just snap your fingers and make yourself a good shooting team. So I felt like a team like that might be able to kind of outperform their offensive profile in the NCAA tournament. And so for a quick note, Loyola last year was 227th in turnover percentage, which meant they turned the ball over, were worse than average at doing that, and were 332nd, near the bottom of the country, in offensive rebound percentage. So that kind of illustrates my point. So I decided to kind of try to see how teams that fit Loyola's profile historically had fared in the NCAA tournament. So going back to 2002, I looked at teams that were top 25 in effective field goal percentage and had an effective field goal percentage rank that was greater than or equal to 25 better than their offensive rank, which basically meant that the teams that were like Loyola that had good effective field goal percentages that were in the top 25 but had offensive ratings that were well below that. So again, they were being dragged down by things like offensive rebounding and turnovers. And then I also wanted to find a team that was at least okay at defense, that had a defensive rating of 150 or better. So I went back, I got a good sample size of about like 30 or so teams, maybe a few more. And there were, initially, when I looked to see how those teams had performed, you know, I was just trying to see if there were any trends I could find. You know, nothing super huge stood out. But then I thought, okay, what if I filter it down to teams that were like Loyola that fit this profile, but not only had a defense that was in the top 150, but had a defense that was actually top 25 in the country. So a team that had a really good defense and this offense that had a good effective field goal percentage, but was being dragged down by these other factors. And I found, going back to 2002, five teams that fit this profile. Loyola from last year, Gonzaga from 2014, that was an 8 seed, Murray State from 2012, that was a 6 seed, Utah from 2009, that was a 5 seed, and George Mason from 2006, that was an 11 seed. And as we know, Loyola last year made the Final Four. Gonzaga in 2014 is an 8 seed, made the round of 32, which again, like, isn't some they didn't super overperform, but, you know, they won a game. Murray State as a 6 seed in 2012 made the round of 32. Utah in 2009 as a 5 seed lost in the first round, which, and then George Mason in 2006 as an 11 seed, that was the team that actually made the Final Four. So that was kind of, I kind of came away feeling good about this. So again, like, these teams that fit this profile, it's not that we can expect them to automatically just be really good in offense in the tournament. But I think there's something here, especially when you consider that two of the five teams were Loyola and George Mason that made these super improbable Final Four runs as 11 seeds, that there is something about the profile of these teams that indicate that they could perform above expectations in the tournament, particularly because, again, they have good defenses already, but their offenses, there's reason to believe they could overperform. So I found that significant. Okay, so now we're going to move on to the team's deep dive. Okay, first up, Duke. Duke, you know, they took that loss to Gonzaga, but they're still really, really good. They have currently the number 2 offense, the number 8 defense in the country per KenPom. You know, the thing that they haven't been doing great is they don't turn you over a ton on defense, and they are not great at defensive rebounding, and those are both things that Gonzaga did well, limiting their turnovers and grabbing some offensive rebounds. You know, Duke, they're the best, as we know. You know, they're probably the best in the country when they can get out and run. And against Gonzaga, there were some times when their half-court offense wasn't great, but it's something they're going to have to develop. I still think they have some good defensive potential. Against Gonzaga, you know, Cam Reddish, they got to find a way for him to get up more shots. He has largely just been a spot-up shooter, but even if he's got to force it a little more, he's, you know, the best shooter on this team, and they need him to be getting shots up. He didn't take nearly enough as he should have been. RJ Barrett, you know, he's great. You know, there's been a lot of talk that Zion probably should have gotten some more opportunities down the stretch, and I have actually been impressed with Zion's ability to create offense. He's not just, you know, a dunker. And Trey Jones, I was impressed with him as well. You know, Marcus Bolden's been good. Basically, this team's fine. They are going to just need more reps in the half court offensively to get things going and to figure things out. But, you know, you should be feeling good about this team. And I don't see the loss to Gonzaga as anything that's especially concerning. Next up, Kansas. Kansas has been kind of weird team for me to figure out, because I feel like they have a lot of individual pieces on their team that it's been hard to know what to expect so far in terms of consistency. But their win against Tennessee was crazy impressive. You know, this team has a ton of upside and a ton of talent. I guess what I mean by them being hard to know what to predict game to game is that, you know, early on, Dedrick Lawson, he really struggled at the beginning of the season against, like, Michigan State and I think even Vermont. And he had a really, really impressive game against Marquette, and he began to show, like, a lot of his flashes of passing ability and also his ability to kind of catch the ball in the perimeter and attack big men and drive at them. And he's getting kind of a little quicker than them, and his ability to get to the basket and finish that way. You know, I haven't loved it. I think when he posts up, he's not great at finishing. He's not exactly, you know, a super high leaper, but he's pretty crafty finishing around the basket. And anyway, I thought maybe that Marquette matchup was just kind of a good matchup for him, because they didn't have a ton of great guys to throw at him defensively. But Tennessee did have some guys, and he performed really well, and he was kind of a stud out there, finishing, making some really big plays, again, flashing that passing ability, and finishing really well up around the basket, again, catching the ball in the perimeter and taking those guys in. But it's, you know, I'm still waiting to see if that bears out going forward. I think he might have gotten his confidence, in which case he should be a kind of a consistent presence for Kansas. Udoka Azubuike is one of maybe the most, you know, like, feared presence in the paint, in, like, the country. But for him, it's tough just because he gets in foul trouble a lot. And occasionally, you know, he's not always making his free throws. So it's always hard to project what his impact is game to game. LeGerald Vick, he's been red hot. And I just keep, like, is he really going to be this good the whole season? Like, obviously, even he doesn't have to be quite that good to be still a really impressive, important piece for Kansas. But I'm just kind of thrown off by that as well. Quentin Grimes started out with red hot against Michigan State, has kind of cooled off a little bit since then, but I think he's better than even he's let on. Devin Dodson's been a fairly consistent presence. He's been very impressive. And I think Charlie Moore can bring some offensive punch off the bench as well. But, you know, they just have a lot of talent, and basically I'm still waiting for them. I need more, like, season to play out for me to really know quite what to expect from this team. You know, I've found myself sometimes feeling like, oh, they don't quite have the guard play. Like, is Devin Dodson going to be enough? But if Dedrick Lawson can kind of be a big playmaker for them, maybe they don't necessarily need a ton of playmaking at guard. But we'll see. Next up, Virginia. Virginia had a really impressive win against Wisconsin. The defense is still there. You know, I love Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome. Braxton Key, I think, is still, you know, he's been a little up and down, but I think I'm glad that they added him. He's a good piece for them. I really like freshman Kahi Clark. I think, you know, he's not going to be a huge scorer for this team, but he's he can shoot, he can play make a little bit. I think the important thing he does is he allows Virginia to keep Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome off the ball, allows them to run off screens. Because both of them can handle the ball a little bit, but I think they're kind of better if they are able to play off ball a little bit. So I think that kind of helps Virginia's offense. The one thing that, you know, there were stretches in that Wisconsin game, and obviously we know Virginia's strength is their defense, but where Virginia, they were having a hard time scoring, and they were having to settle for a lot of jump shots, and getting to the rim and drawing fouls is something that they, like, we're really not great at last year either. This is a team that, like, Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy, as good as they are, they don't necessarily get a lot of trips to the line. So I kind of felt like they just really needed to find a way to get DeAndre Hunter. He needs to be the guy that can get into the paint, finish around the basket, get easy looks, and get to the line as well. And that was something he did later on in the game against Wisconsin. And they need him to do that more. He needs to even have more of an offensive presence than he does. And he does. I think like that's a good sign for Virginia. Even early on in the season, they are getting offensive rebounds at a little higher rate than they did last season, which was really low for them last season. And that's, I think, a lot of that's DeAndre Hunter. And they're also getting to the line a little bit more, still below average nationally, but getting to the line a little bit more than they did last season. And that's, again, I think contributed to Hunter, and the stats bear that out as well. So I think that's really important. DeAndre Hunter they need him to be a star. And I think, you know, he's going to have those, it's not like he's going to be lacking in opportunities. I think they just got to continue to make a concerted effort to do that. Cause otherwise, like, you know, there are stretches when jump shots aren't falling and they can look very average offensively. And I think they're susceptible to losing when that happens. Next up, North Carolina. They took that loss to Texas and beat UCLA over the last week. The loss to Texas, I'm not kind of taking too much from it because Kerwin Roach just was on fire. And I think, and they almost, North Carolina still almost won, but I think a lot of that was just Texas got hot from three when they usually don't do that. Kerwin Roach was on fire. It was just kind of one of those games. I think there's a lot to be excited about if you're a UNC fan, especially because Kobe White, you know, he's a really good player and he's starting to hit shots and he's getting more confident. And he really, like, provides a dynamic presence at point guard that, you know, Joel Berry is really good, but he does some things that Joel Berry just couldn't do. Luke May, Cameron Johnson, they're good. They're good. Like, you can count on them. Garrison Brooks, I like, you know, Kenny Williams. Basically, but some of these guys, are somewhat limited in their ability to kind of create offense. So sometimes they turn into a little bit of spot-up roles. Luke May struggles against athletic bigs sometimes. So I think that's why it was important for Kobe White, just kind of provide some playmaking for them. And the other guy they need to do that is Nasir Little, who showed some flashes in the UCLA game, and he's kind of still, I think Roy Williams is still kind of working with him, and he still probably hasn't gotten quite enough minutes yet, but he had like a really big dunk, and he showed confidence, and I think if he can keep getting better and better and provide some offensive spark as well, which he definitely can do, that's just going to continue to help North Carolina. So I think they they're in really good shape. If they can just continue to, I mean, they're basically giving Coby White the offense, but if he can keep growing and if they can continue to get Little involved as well, they'll be in good shape. So I think good things if you're a North Carolina fan. Next up is Nevada. I haven't seen a ton of them. They have a few big games coming up against Loyola Chicago, USC, and Arizona State. The thing I notice about them is they still are, like last year, a team that doesn't turn the ball over a lot, doesn't really force a lot of turnovers. The key improvement I see over last year is that, and they still get to the line a lot. Last year they were really bad at defensive rebounding on both sides of the ball, which you kind of expect. Like, they played a lot of Jordan Caroline and was expected to do a lot of the rebounding. He's only 6'7". This year with Jordan Brown at 6'11", Trey Porter at 6'11", and you know, even Trayshawn Thurman at 6'8", they have a lot more rebounding help, and that has been reflected in the stats. So that's a big positive thing for them. I mean, all their guys are playing well, like Caroline, Martin. I mean, they haven't really had too tough of a test yet. But the rebounding thing, I think, is big for them, and that's a good indicator. And offensively, they're number one in the country. So, and last year, the thing was they were pretty bad. I think they were sub 70 defensively, at least. And this year, they are 48. Last year, they were 108. So that's a big thing that, and I think the size can kind of help that defensive rebounding and kind of size in the interior. I think that's actually really big for them and makes them, you know, probably a better team than last year for sure. Next up is Gonzaga. I already mentioned them. They had a really impressive win against Duke. I didn't really expect them to fare too well against Duke because they kind of were up and down against Illinois and Arizona the prior two games. They really came to play. They showed that, you know, they're have a ceiling of a team, like a Final Four type team. The profile of their team is fairly similar this year, just in terms of certain numbers. Like, they do a pretty good job of not turning the ball over, grab offensive rebounds, don't turn teams over a ton. This year they are worse so far defensive rebounding than they were last year, and I think a lot of that might be due to Killian Tilly's absence. And again, that's just a big thing for them. To expect to get Killy back is going to be really big in terms of giving that team a boost. Zach Norvell and Rui Hachimura are both, you know, really good offensive presence, really good on the offensive side of the ball. Team had struggled to shoot a little bit earlier in the year, but kind of had a good shooting game against Duke, and I think that they are good at a capable shooting team. Josh Perkins is very confident and competent. You know, Petrusev down low, he's providing them some stuff. Gino Crandall is still working his way into the mix. I don't know. I think the win against Duke probably is going to overrate them in some people's eyes, but I still think they are very impressive. They're going to have some tests. North Carolina in December, Creighton in December, Washington, Tennessee. I want to see a few more games. I feel like they kind of might have stolen one against Duke, and I want to see how they fare against some better competition. They're still, you know, definitely a top 10 team, but I'm trying to wait to see if they just were able to kind of have a really great performance in that individual game. I want to see some more consistency. Next up, Michigan. They have a tough test Wednesday at home against hosting North Carolina. You know, they have another great defense this year. It's really impressive that they really limit threes and make it, you know, just imagine this combination. They are 12th best in the country in limiting opponent three field goal attempts. The idea is, oh, they're, you know, funneling everything to the inside, but they also have the number one defensive two-point percentage in the country. So that's just like a really impressive combination. They've only been shooting the ball okay, which is kind of, you know, what they did last year. Charles Matthews is just like, he's just kind of an okay shooter. The Braz Dacus, he's been a great presence for them. Xavier Simpson, Isaiah Livers, they're a really strong defensive team. I'm just interested to see their offense continue to develop. And the game against North Carolina will definitely be interesting, but the defense alone will make this team arguably the best in the Big Ten. And we'll see and go from there. Next up, Michigan State. They had some really impressive wins against UCLA and Texas. They've been shooting the ball really well. Cassius Winston, Joshua Langford, Matt McQuaid. They have a lot of experienced guys on this team. Kenny Goins has been better this year. Nick Ward is a solid presence inside. I think they're kind of underrated just because they just kind of lost Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson, just brought a lot of the same guys back. But these guys are really good and quality players, and I think they're going to be one of the top two teams along with Michigan in the Big Ten, I would guess. Maybe Wisconsin as well. We'll see. The big thing to watch for this team is last year, one of their they kind of were not good at, they weren't good at forcing turnovers, or and they turned the ball over a lot. This year they are still not turning the ball, people over a lot, but they are at a slightly better rate. And last year they were 236 in the country in turnovers, so on the offensive end, so they were turning the ball over a lot. And this year they've improved to 157, so that's kind of something. There was a struggle for them against Texas. Texas forced a lot of turnovers on them, so that'll be something to kind of monitor. Can they limit the turnovers, be a little bit better at that this year? I think so far there's reason to believe they can be. This team still is great passing. They always, the last 2 years, again, they have been around the top of the nation in terms of percentage of baskets that are assisted. Really solid passing team, which would indicate that they're capable of it. They shouldn't be turning the ball over that as much as they do. But, you know, a lot to like from this team. You kind of still question a little bit, do they have the upside, like national championship upside? Do they quite have the players that can take them over the top? But very, very solid. Next up, Auburn. They've been, you know, really good. They've crashed the offensive glass. They force a lot of turnovers. They shoot a lot of threes. They hit a lot of threes. Duke was just a tough game. Duke's a really talented team, but I wasn't too, you know, didn't take away too much of that from a negative sense for Auburn. And then they, you know, they came around and beat Arizona. They had a close game against Xavier. But anyway, they have a lot of talent, a lot of athletes, a lot of capable shooters, versatile defenders. Actually, Austin Wiley, who I didn't like early in the season, has actually been kind of provides them, has been really good. And, you know, he's not a shooter, but he provides them a post presence when those threes aren't falling, which actually is really important, because I think what sometimes happens is Auburn shoots so many threes, and when those, against certain teams that can defend the three pretty well, when those threes aren't falling, you know, I think they need ways to get easy baskets. They don't get to the line a ton. Jared Harper, he can finish in the paint, but he's a little small. Bryce Brown, would much rather shoot the ball than drive in the paint. And they got guys that can finish around the basket, but they sometimes struggle to kind of get the ball into the paint and create those easy baskets. So I think Austin Wiley is important for them in that regard. And they got to continue just to, you know, and again, crashing the offensive glass has been the main way that they get those easy baskets. But they need to continue to try to, you know, shooting the three is good. They're a great shooting team, but kind of balance that out a little bit and make sure that they're capable of getting the ball inside and finishing when those shots aren't falling. Because that's the thing that I am a little scared of for when I watch this team, is if when those shots aren't falling, do they have other ways, other areas to turn to an offense? And again, Wiley is a big help with that. Tennessee looked really good against Kansas. Part of me thinks that they're probably even better than the Kansas, even though they took that loss. Grant Williams is a stud. He's really good. You know, he's just a bulldog down low. Admiral Schofield didn't have a great shooting game, but he's capable. Jordan Bone is really tough, hit some big shots. Lamonte Turner, who was out early in the season, has kind of come back and provides that team a real spark offensively and a real great shooting presence. So I think him being back is really big. Alexander provides them the taller presence of 6'11 down low. Jordan Bowden, I want to see a little bit more from him. But I even like some of their bench guys, and John Fulkerson and Pons. They have a lot to work with. They're just a really tough team. And they haven't shot the ball super well so far, but they have a lot of guys back that are shooting a little worse than they typically have. So I think that'll kind of come back. I think them, they are going to continue developing, work Turner back into the offense a little bit more. And things are good in terms of the upside of this team. They don't have necessarily that one like NBA draft like star or like necessarily a guy that could elevate them in that sense. But I think they're just so tough, and I think they, in terms of SEC, I actually think that they are probably better than Auburn. I think Tennessee has the capability of shooting the three, and they don't rely on that nearly as much as Auburn does. So yeah, I would probably put them a little bit above Auburn. Okay, that was the top 10 teams. I'm going to run a little quicker through the rest of the teams I'm going to cover. Texas Tech, great defensively. Jarrett Culver is kind of their go-to guy on offense. They shoot the ball super well. Matt Mooney, David Moretti. Inside, along with Odiasse, who was there last year, Tariq Owens has just been a stud down low and provides a lot of athleticism and toughness down low for Texas Tech. I think they're an under-the-radar team because they're playing well than a lot of people expected. I think they're like a dark horse Final Four just because I think Culver can kind of be a go-to guy for them. They got great defense, and they have guys that can put the ball in the basket. And I think their offense will improve over the course of the season. Next up, Wisconsin. Ethan Happ is looking like one of the five best players in the country, first team All-American for sure, and he's going to make Wisconsin really good this year. I thought that Virginia is just a little bit better of a better team. Dimitri Trice has been shooting the ball really well. Brad Davison, I like his kind of the potential he provides on offense. He kind of looked a little overmatched against Virginia's defense. Nate Rivers can shoot. Khalil Iverson provides that kind of off ball. Kobe Keane has been really good. You know, he provides another shooter and another kind of guy that can create some offense. I think they're going to be one of the top teams in the Big Ten. I think there's a lot to love. I think Ethan Happ can carry this team in the tournament potentially. In terms of his supporting guys, I'm still kind of they're enough to make Wisconsin a good team. Are they enough to make Wisconsin a great team? We'll see. Purdue's been really good. Carson Edwards is clearly the guy for this team. They've been offensive rebounding the ball extremely well. Evan Boudreau at 6'8 has been getting a ton of offensive boards. I'm not sure that's going to continue exactly. I don't feel like I'm as high on Purdue as some other people or maybe the computers have been. The team can really shoot with Ryan Klein. I don't love the supporting pieces, but I think this is a good team. It's a little bit like Wisconsin in the sense that their star player is going to be one of the best players in college basketball, and their supporting pieces are pretty good, and it's just kind of got to wait and see how those supporting pieces develop to see whether this team is just going to be elevated by the star player occasionally, but be limited by the supporting cast. Again, the supporting cast has been good, and yeah, we'll see. You know, Nojel Eastern, can he continue to develop? Matt Harms? So I'm kind of on a wait and see on Purdue. Florida State had been looking really good this year until their game against Villanova. And they kind of looked like the same kind of problems that Florida State sometimes has is kind of arose. And that sometimes, like in the half court and offense, they just really struggle and they have a hard time really creating any offense. They turn the ball over a lot, which is something that they have been kind of struggling with all season, that they're 272nd in the country in terms of turning the ball over. And, you know, they rely a lot on Trent Forrest, who's really their main, like, assist man. But even he has been turning the ball over at a high rate as well. So that's the kind of tough thing. Like, they need him to create offense, but he's been turning the ball over a lot. So basically, that's, like, a big problem for them. They have a lot of guys that have turned the ball over more than they assist it. They're really good at, you know, they have a lot of athleticism. I don't even know how to pronounce his name, but Kabingele down low is really good. You know, Terrence Mann's good. MJ Walker I've really liked after he was kind of in a McDonald's All-American last year, I think, and he didn't get a ton of opportunities, but he's been really good as a shooter this year. So they're going to be good defensively. I just don't know if against good defensive teams that they're going to be able to create a ton of offense, at least as well as they should. You know, they'll hit the offensive glass and get offense that way, but in terms of really just making that first shot, I don't know. Villanova played good defense against them, and I'll get to them later. But we'll see. Villanova wasn't known as like some great defensive presence, so we'll see. Virginia Tech's been good so far this season. They look good against Purdue. This is a team that, again, led by Justin Robinson, is really good offensively. They have a lot of shooters: Med Hill, Ty Outlaw, Nikki Alexander, Walker, Kenny Blackshear is kind of their interior presence. They're going to be really good offensively. They shoot a lot of threes. They don't get to the line a ton, but I don't think that's a huge issue. Then with them, even last season, it's even worse this season, they let up a ton of threes, and I guess part of that could be, you know, they're just, I won't speculate on that for now, but they let up a ton of threes, and I think that's something that is tough. I mean, if I feel like teams in college basketball are getting better at hitting threes, and I think that is going to kind of hold their defense back a little bit all season. I'd like to see them limit threes a little bit more. The one thing that their defense really has improved on from last season is they are forcing they have the second highest defensive turnover rate in the country, whereas last year they were 163rd. So, I mean, potentially they're just being really aggressive on defense, and that's leading to some open looks for three, but maybe it's worth doing that if they're generating enough turnovers. So that's something to monitor, but it's a good trend for them on the defensive end of the floor, which is something that was kind of, they're only 45th in the country now, but last year they were 70th, so they're trending in the right direction there. Villanova's the 16th team, according to KenPom, and since the podcast is running a little long, they're going to be the last team I touch on right now. They looked really impressive against Florida State. or maybe I should scale that back a bit. I mean, what I was impressed with was I feel like Jay Wright over the last, you know, when they've had to take in some losses to get Michigan Furman, it's kind of instilled in this team that they are not going to be the offense they were last year. Currently, they're ninth, which is good, but they're going to have to really become more of a defensive-oriented team. Maybe their offense will still technically be their strength, but they're going to have to really put a lot of focus on defense for this team to be good. And they came out with a lot of energy on defense. They were trapping a lot, and some of that is, again, like I mentioned, Florida State. Florida State's not necessarily great in the half court, and they were turning the ball over more than they really should have against Villanova. Villanova hasn't been forcing a ton of turnovers, but that was good to see. I really don't love the offense. I don't love a lot of the pieces on this team. Cosby Roundtree played really well. I thought that was encouraging. Pascal is going to be pretty good. Phil Booth, I mean, the problem again is, like, Colin Gillespie played really well and he created some offense for them, and I don't really love a lot of their kind of creators off the dribble in terms of creating offense, getting in the lane, drawing fouls, making plays for others. I still don't love a lot of those guys. Phil Booth isn't great at it. Pascal's not great at it. Gillespie was good today. I don't know how great he is at it. They still didn't play, like, Quinterly. He still didn't play, and I'll trust Jay Wright that there's a reason for that. But I think this was a really good game for them. I still don't really love the upside of this team. I think in the Big East, they'll be good. They'll be fine. I think if they can continue to really play well in defense, they'll be better than I had feared overall, but we'll see. So that's the podcast. I'm going to keep pumping out more content, and you can follow the podcast again on Twitter at @OnePerfectBracket, and I hope to keep putting them out soon. Again, check the Twitter page because I got a lot of stuff going up on that. Okay, thanks.